You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of April 8th, 2020. And as Little John says, turnip for what?
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Albor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And today, we're getting patient.
We are, yeah. We're slowing things down a little bit. You know, we've waited a long time for things. It's the games industry. All we do is wait, you know?
That's true. All we do is wait, then complain, then wait some more.
That is basically the cycle, yeah.
This is kind of like apropos of a lot of the stuff that's going on in the world, which is essentially for normies like you and me, the best thing we can do to kind of help the kind of global issues that we're facing is kind of just isolate ourselves and wait.
And wait it out. Yeah, we are in a perpetual state of waiting. And it's especially a strange environment to be in during the pandemic because we don't know when it will end. It's not like we're patiently waiting for Final Fantasy VII Remake to launch in 3 days, right? Like, we know we have a release date for that. Although, I guess, in a way, we do have a release date for this. It's just constantly being pushed back.
Right, exactly. Like the video game industry.
Wow. It's a full circle, team. I think I wanted to talk about patience a little bit, especially in the context of Animal Crossing.
All right. So, let me tell you what I know about Animal Crossing.
Yes.
I lurk around in the gaming Slack channel at work.
If you are working in an office environment, everyone will not shut up about Animal Crossing.
Yeah, and at a certain point, people just went on this. At a certain time, well, first, someone posted a meme of The Simpsons where Lenny is saying, "When the sun hits this spot in the ground, we can get more turnips."
Yep.
And then people just started posting their basically like turnip stats at a certain time of day. People just this run of like seven people in a row just posted turnips : numbers. And I was like, man, there's something strange happening here. So all I know is turnips seem to be a very hot commodity in the Animal Crossing world, and people seem to have an unhealthy relationship with them. Tell me more about turnips.
The turnips. So here's the deal with the turnips, and this is what I've gleaned today, having interviewed people that are much more familiar with the Animal Crossing franchise, right? Mm-hmm.
The lore.
Yes. There are a variety of fruits and vegetables one can plant and harvest in Animal Crossing, but turnips are not one of them. You actually have to buy turnips from Isabel in your town, right?
Wait, what is that lore? The turnips come from somewhere else?
I don't know. There's some alien world where like, you need to buy. My understanding is you must buy turnips, right?
What?
Now, here's the thing. The value of a turnip in terms of both its buy and sale value changes over time, right? Mm-hmm. And so the weird thing that people are doing, and literally the term that they use is the stock market, STALK.
Oh my God.
The stock market.
Great. That's great.
They're buying turnips low and selling high. So what you saw in your office when they were posting like numbers, that is either the buy or sell value of turnips at that particular moment. So it's this buying scheme, right? Because the end goal here is to get enough money so that you can then spend it on other bullshit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that
because the turnips themselves are just there's nothing inherently
exactly
unique about
right.
the turnip. It's just a value. It's just a currency.
Yes. No one is buying turnips to turn into some weird root vegetable themed, you know, theme park or something. Like that's right. It is not like Turnip Town. That's not happening. Although maybe it should happen. Nintendo hit at me. They're buying it to maximize a profit, which I don't know. I mean, maybe in some people's world, playing the stock market is fun. It's not. Uh-huh. It's very triggering for me personally. Uh-huh. So
yeah, jeez.
Right there, I'm not interested. But I was thinking about this pressure to play the turnip game. You know, and how like the ultimate goal is to get enough money for you to beautify your island. And I was just really confronting this idea that like so much of why people play Animal Crossing is to make these slow, gradual increments towards doing what they actually want to do, which is customizing their island, hanging out on the island, and going and visiting their friends, right? Mm. For me, that's the core of what I want out of the Animal Crossing experience. And this this kerfuffle over turnips was a spotlight into my problem with, like, and I think the reason I brought it up is because maybe I'm just not a patient person, but it's my problem with Animal Crossing, and maybe I just have this general problem overall and I wanted to talk it out, right? And before we move on, though, there's another caveat about turnips that I think is also relevant to Animal Crossing in particular, right? Normally in Animal Crossing, if you have an excess number of, say, apples, you can store it in your house in storage, right? It doesn't have to actually be anywhere. It just sort of exists in the ether. Yeah. Turnips, for some bizarre reason, are a commodity that cannot be stored in storage. You must actively put your turnips somewhere, right?
So people you have that, to have what, a box in your house, or it has to be like in a warehouse even a box. Outside
of
your house?
You literally, I mean, you only have your house, so you can either put it in your house, or you can leave it on the ground somewhere. Some people are burying it. Some people are creating like themed little hedges. Some people are making fenced in property to just pile their turnips, right?
And it's just because they don't conform to the like Pokeball style idea of like infinite space.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Exactly. Okay. For some reason, Nintendo decided turnips don't belong in storage. Maybe it's because there's a rule where like turnips can go bad. Because basically, if you don't sell your turnips after a certain period of time, they go bad and they lose all their value. So it's this gambling game that people are playing with turnips. And the rules are built in such this bizarre way where like you need to lay your turnips out there in the public, just on the ground, willy-nilly, because you can't otherwise store them. But the people, if you really want to maximize your profits, right, you need to buy as many turnips as you can low and then sell high, and then you're just having like piles of turnips everywhere. It's a really bizarre scenario. And there's all of these like weird little quality of life things that impede playing the way that you would think would be the natural way, right? So, for example, if you want to go visit your friend's island, you have to go talk to the person that's at the like airline, and you go and you have to go through like 12 different confirmation menus to find out whether or not your friend's island is open. And if your friend's island is open, if they're using their like Nook phone app, you'll be rejected from visiting the island because they're busy, and you'll have to go through some dialogue options again. Once you do that, then you interrupt the session that your friends are having on their island with the long drawn out cutscene, for lack of a better word, where your plane is flying over the island, landing, and you're disembarking, and everyone's like, oh, hey, what's up, right? So there's all these extra steps, and time and again, like, there are just unnecessary dialogue options. Every time you build like a flimsy axe to make it into a good axe, you have to have this long drawn out animation where you're like, look, I made another axe. That's like this basic part of this game. So there's just all of these ways of slowing things down, and I don't understand why I seem to be the only one incredibly frustrated by it all, you know?
Am I the crazy one?
It feels like I'm the crazy one. And now I'm just like, maybe I'm not as patient as I thought I was. Like, is it unreasonable to ask for a more responsive world when the very theme and idea of the world is to sort of calm down and take things slow?
I mean, I think that's the crux of this, which is why it's hard. It's hard to find the line between kind of inconvenience and purposeful mindfulness.
Right, right.
Because there are examples out there. I mean, I feel like the last couple of years have been full of examples of games that are purposefully require patience.
Right.
You know, whether that's any of the Souls games, whether that's our game of the year last year, Death Stranding.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, but it so quickly goes across to, oh, well, this is just a poorly optimized menu, or this is just a broken system or something like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, gosh, the Animal Crossing stuff is hard because, especially when Nintendo is involved, anything having to do with any sort of convenience, especially vis-a-vis the internet.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah.
You know, it seems kind of suspect, but I don't. So really, are people really not complaining about this? Like, I haven't heard anything.
I mean,
but
I've seen some things like on Twitter and stuff. I'm certain that I'm not alone, but it's not like a widespread issue, you know. And if anything, my guess is this version of Animal Crossing is probably more approachable and user friendly than past versions. So I think it's kind of built into the DNA of what Animal Crossing is, you know?
Right.
And I think part of it is this desire to be very family friendly, right? If you're watching a children's show, people will talk more slowly because they want to make sure a kid understands, and they want to make even the little things like building a shovel feel like a momentous moment. And I can understand wanting to provide that particular value to a subset of your players. But as like a 30 something adult, it's it's very aggravating to feel like I'm constantly impeded to achieve this thing. And here's the other thing, right? And above and beyond the menu system, Animal Crossing can be a lot of things to a lot of different people, right? So for some people, their goal is to decorate their house. For others, it's to go and visit other people's islands. Yeah. For some people, they want to collect fish. And literally for me, because there's an in-game museum where you can dig up fossils and donate them and create a dinosaur exhibit, and I have a dinosaur tattoo. I love dinosaurs. That's all I want to do, right?
Right?
But there's a hard limit within the rules of how many fossils I can dig up, right? I cannot literally commit myself to a career of being a paleontologist in the fictional world of Animal Crossing, right? That's not something I can actively choose to do. It doles out pieces of the overall experience in these sort of bite-sized chunks, and so you kind of have to do it all, right? Every day is a sort of rinse, wash, repeat of get my minimum, or rather my maximum requirement of ore from the rocks that are on my island, get the amount of wood that I need, get stung by bees and bitten by tarantulas and pass out, you know, do some fishing and then go to sleep and rinse, wash, repeat the following day. And I think to a lot of people, that's fine. But to me, it feels like the fact that they're doling each of these little pieces out makes me feel really anxious, because what I really want to do is build up my museum, right? Specifically the dinosaur section. But that's not something I can do like readily, unless I guess I'm maybe if I'm hustling and trying to trade things online, and then I'm just playing a totally different game at that point.
Well, actually, that was the thought experiment I was going to ask, which is, let's say they removed some of the limits where you didn't have an artificial limit on number of fossils you could find, or your shovel was invulnerable, or whatever.
Oh, God, that would be amazing.
So if that were to happen, what would happen to the game? Could you just blow through it in 1 hour and have a full museum? Or are there other things that would limit, or not limit, but are there other things that would challenge you?
I mean, so this is the problem that I have with maybe this type of game, period, right? What is it that I want to accomplish, and what is the harm of just letting me accomplish it, you know?
Right.
Like, let's imagine a world where I said, hey, Tom Nook, I want to focus on fossils. Please send me to an island that has a disproportionately high number of fossils, right? Mm-hmm. And suddenly my fossil discovery increased by 500%. And I finished my museum faster than others because I chose to opt into an island experience that leaned towards that activity. I knew what I would enjoy.
Right.
What's the harm in that?
Right. So what? You'd still be doing it. It would just be more frequent, basically.
It would be more frequent. I would achieve my goal faster, and then I would go and select a different goal, right? I mean, I understand this desire to keep us playing, but I think a lot of other game companies have to deal with that, and one of the ways they deal with it is by releasing new content. But not every game has to be a forever game, and this is one of those experiences that is so clearly built for that, you know? Here's another example. Right now, in 3 days or 4 days or so from time of recording, the Cherry Blossom Festival will end, which is a time that is in Animal Crossing that is seasonal. It comes like once a year, where cherry blossoms will bloom on your island, and you can catch cherry blossom petals and use those petals to create custom, like, cherry blossom themed items, right?
Oh, shit. I need to boot up my copy soon to get into this cherry blossom.
Oh, I mean, you're too late, dude. Like, you got to hunt for those lotus blossoms, and you got to find the recipes and stuff. It's wild.
A whole year I've wasted.
But to me, the idea of waiting and being patient for that next timed event, I enjoy and anticipate. Like, I don't have a problem with that kind of patience, because to me, that feels right. You know, it feels like it's tied to the real world. Or, as another example, I was watching as you hopped on, a trailer for Microsoft's Flight Simulator. And they were showcasing two different modes in the game, right? One is the free mode. You could just go and play online, and all the other planes are doing whatever the hell they want. You can play in any mode you want. You don't have to worry about weather or whatever. And then there's another mode where it's like real-time weather, real-time traffic, and you have to obey the sort of flight traffic rules, and there's all of these limits on you, right? And in my mind, I'm far more interested in playing with those limits than I'm playing without those limits, right? Mm. So why am I more patient for an experience like that, or patient in certain ways but not patient in other ways, you know?
I mean, it feels like something is like
terribly wrong with you.
Well, no, I mean, it feels like the thing that is bumping you is that the there's a distinction between the mechanical challenge and the meta rule set of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because to your point, to the thought experiment of, you know, the highly dense fossil island, you would still be needing to do the activities that allow you to find and dig up fossils, you know, yep. The actual mechanics of hunting for fossils. It's just that there's not this meta layer of artificial scarcity on top of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that is the line that you're walking.
And not to call out a competitor so clearly, but Stardew Valley does let you customize your first farm now. Like, you can choose to have a farm layout that is more friendly towards fishing with a lot of bodies of water, you know? I mean, the rest of the game is pretty much the same, but you can, in some cases, customize what you want that first experience to be like and shape how you play, you know?
Hmm. That is interesting. I really do think I'm trying to think of the games that I've played that have required patience, or even just historically, I guess. And
well, so one that I know you've been playing, because I was thinking about it in this context as well, is Doom, right?
Yeah.
Because in Doom, I think that, interestingly, the difficulty in this game has ratcheted up, I think, from the last Doom game. That's
mine. Yeah, feels like it.
And the result is that I'm often finding myself very low on health and sort of patiently running around the arena looking for like a grunt to kill with my chainsaw or whatever in order to restock on ammunition, especially as I'm running out of ammunition a lot more because maybe I'm just bad. So, I mean, in my mind, like, even that's a sort of small micro scale lesson in patience, because you can't do what you would normally want to do, just running around and killing things. And yeah, you're being strategic and graceful in how you're moving around the map, but this one is much more demanding in how you're expending your resources and then finding yourself waiting for cooldowns and trying to find grunts to reload. And I don't know. I mean, to me, it feels like that's practicing a certain degree of patience.
I think so. I think there's also one of the challenging things around a game like that is you also have to buy into the conceit of, like, if I was like a hardcore Call of Duty player, I could see myself not liking Doom at all.
Yeah.
Because there are things like those cooldowns, and there's, you know, the kind of the triple balance of having to do the armor, health, and ammo all the time versus it's exclusively based off of the point and click of the shooting versus the meta of it.
Right.
And I mean, I think part of that is inherent in the game, you know, like you have to have a certain amount of allowance or patience for these systems, or else there's just no point in playing it, you know. It's just it does require a different type, but I'm still trying to, like, it doesn't necessarily feel disrespectful, you know, like it requires patience because it's not, you know, respecting you for your time or whatever. Which is almost, I think about that concept a lot when I think about patience, because I always think about it. It's riding the line between requiring the player to really buy into that and pissing them off, you know?
Yep, yeah.
That's why I think about Kojima so much for that stuff, because I think he plays with that stuff a lot. Like, remember in MGS3 where you could beat a boss by letting him grow old and die? In the sniper fight.
God, what a genius Hideo Kojima is.
Or that time, but he also made, and I think that's one where it's like, okay, I could patiently wait this person out, even if you don't take that route through the game.
Yeah.
That whole fight, the sniper duel in that game, is a slow, methodical, it truly is a sniper duel. It is a super, you have to have patience in order to figure that out. But then in the same game, he also makes fun of the player for indulging in him and in patience, period, by having the ladder that takes literally like 5 minutes
holding
up to just walk up, you know?
That's a, man, the ladder thing.
And so I think at the same, I think he is making the point two ways in the same game, which is the line between patience and requiring patience and just showing disrespect to the player is so thin, because those scenarios are almost the same thing.
Yeah, man, you know, the idea of him, what a, like, he sounds like a crazy auteur, which I guess he is, but
right.
Yeah, that's a very good point for sure. I mean, what is your takeaway there though? Like, because the thing that I'm struggling with, right, is if I could understand with perfect clarity what I find frustrating and what I have the patience to deal with, I feel like I would just waste way less of my time on games I'm not going to enjoy, you know?
Because I think one of the commonalities is, and I think Nintendo, for whatever reason, is super guilty of this in many franchises, is the weird artificial meta limitations on a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Same shit happens in Pokemon all the time.
All the fucking time.
There's certain things where it's like, why can't I carry two of these things? Or why do I have to go to this menu to swap a Pokemon out when there's no limit? I just have to go to a menu to do it. So why even have the menu? So it's there's just a lot of weird stuff like that, that it feels like there are strange artificial limits on top of the mechanic that require a certain patience that maybe doesn't feel fair.
I mean, how much of this is like just a modern complaint, right? Like, because there's a part of me that sympathizes with people who are, you know, there's a part of me that sympathizes with all of those boomers who are just like, put down your phone and like look at a real map, and that's, you know, right. You don't need Google. Like, where we can you know, have like this false nostalgia for a simpler time where things did take time and did take effort, you know. I'm not someone that says we need to have immediate satisfaction at all times, right?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting place to be in, where I'm trying to comprehend where is that line, right? Because I think, per your point, it's thinner in games than maybe we give it credit for. Yeah. You're absolutely right about Pokemon and Nintendo as a whole. I mean, even some Mario games have it, right? Where like the restart checkpoint is like way far back, or for one reason or another, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But at the same time, you know, if I need to mow the lawn, like, I'm fine using like an old timey lawnmower or something, you know?
Right, right. One of the things that I do when I'm stressed out is play Breath of the Wild. And so, you know, over the past couple of weeks when I should have been playing Doom, I've been playing a lot of Breath of the Wild and thinking about this concept, because
interesting.
You know, as is, as happens in that game, I was at the very bottom of a really steep mountain that I needed to climb. And then of course it starts to rain.
Yep.
And so I was like, what am I supposed to do here? Should I take the super long ass way around this mountain? Should I try to scramble my way up this really sheer cliff in the rain? Where should I just sit here and wait for the rain to pass? Because that's also a valid way of doing it. And for me personally, that sort of that challenge of patience is acceptable in that context, because it is inherent to the mechanics of the game and not a Pokemon style ask of patience, which is just a weird menu design for the sake of it.
That's a really great example, actually, because the other thing I think that highlights is there is a very real push your luck opportunity there, where you learn the lesson of a lack of patience, you know? Because we've all had that moment in Breath of the Wild where we try to climb and we barely make it and we're running out of stamina, and then we fall and we have to start from scratch, right? Yeah. Or we make a jump that we don't think that we can make. Whereas if you take a moment to rest halfway up the mountain before continuing, maybe you'll make that journey, right? That feels like a decision and a punishment regarding patience or the lack thereof that is predicated on you making a significant decision there, right?
Yeah.
There's no decision-making process that is determining what is impeding my access of fun in Animal Crossing. Like, everything is a predetermined algorithm that the game has decided, you know?
Right.
The other thing that's been driving me crazy that I'm sure you've seen people talk about is all the fucking eggs for this Easter event or Bunny Day, right?
Yeah.
You can go fishing. You can shoot things from the sky. There are eggs everywhere. And I don't want eggs. I don't give a shit about, like, egg-colored tables and egg-colored hats. Like, none of that fucking matters at all, right? I'm looking for a fucking tree branch because my net broke, you know? Basic stuff. So it's so infuriating when, you know, when I'm finding an egg instead of a tree branch, it wasn't because I made the decision to look in a fucking egg patch, you know? Like, I'm not looking... If I was looking for tree branches in a chicken coop, lesson learned, you know what I mean? I found an egg.
Yeah.
But, like, there... I'm not feeling as though there's any really meaningful decisions there. What the game that I want to play is one where I'm just decorating my house and looking at dinosaur bones, you know? And there's very few ways for me to make actionable decisions to get me there. And I think to some extent, that's also what's frustrating sometimes about Doom, right? Where my way out is not to be smarter than my enemies. It's to wait for a cooldown timer.
Yeah. That's where I'm coming up against some frustration in Doom as well, where it's if those cooldowns were somehow endemic to the environment versus just a number that the Doom guy for some reason is limited by it.
Yeah, the Doom guy would, Mr. Doom. Yeah, Mr. Doom,
the excuse me, the Doom Slayer.
Yeah, Sir Doom Slayer.
Sir Doom Slayer. It would feel a little bit different, but there is some sort of honestly, like the whole scenario that the whole world is in right now, it's harder to take something when it's being enforced upon you, even if it's something that you would do anyway.
Yeah, like staying indoors.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and I think even for people like us, who I would consider myself personally someone who's pretty much a homebody by nature. You know, obviously I go out and do things, but left to my own devices, I am pretty, you know, I like to read, I like to play video games, you know, whatever. Like, but the fact that you can't do it means all of a sudden it feels worse.
100%
agreed. And that's where that enforced patience might come from, you know, because Animal Crossing is forcing you to be patient, which makes it feel worse because you have the capacity to be patient, clearly, by all of the other games we both play. It's just that those games don't necessarily enforce it by explicit rule, and they enforce it more systemically.
That's a good example too, because even in the shelter in place scenario, I think one of the things that does make it a little bit easier is, I mean, it sounds cheesy, but is being reminded in all of the ways that we are that staying at home is an active decision, right? Because we are having a positive impact on the spread of a pandemic, you know?
Right.
It's a little bit easy. It's not still hard, but it's a little bit easier to swallow to know that, well, you know, it might suck that I'm being forced to stay at home. At least it's the decision that's making the world a better place, you know?
Right, right. It's, if you can reframe it in a decision that is active, then all of a sudden you are an actor rather than just a passive participant where something is happening to you. But in a video game where it is much harder to bend the rules unless you are firing up, you know, cheat engine or whatever on the PC, it's much harder to break those rules or to feel like you're making... I would be hard-pressed to try to help you reframe your mindset and to be like, no, I'm choosing to engage with these eggs, you know? I mean, it's just being forced upon you, you know?
Yes, I mean, so two more questions before we wrap up. One is, do you think that video games have made you more patient in real life? Like, does that... Are those lessons, do they carry over in any significant way? And then two, on a related note, you are a father. You must have a lot of patience if you're going to be dealing with a child. But also, you know, in regards to the conversation we've had in the past about, like, what is the age that's appropriate for letting your kid play a bad video game? You know?
Yeah.
Like, would I let my kid play a Lego Star Wars game is one we've talked about, but Pokemon applies as well, right? Like, is there a type of patience that you would want to teach Sam that you wouldn't want to teach him in like another experience?
I mean, I think for me, I don't know how you feel about this. I think video games, and having played so many and, you know, considering myself pretty knowledgeable about the medium in general, has given me more patience for understanding systems.
Yeah.
I won't say that I'm necessarily the most patient person in the world with just general purpose things like, oh, can't find a parking space, or man, it's super crowded in, you know, in the store or whatever.
Right.
I don't know if I'm any more or less patient in that context, but when it comes to here's a weird set of intersecting rules, and sometimes the only way through it is by experimenting and testing. I feel like video games have made me more patient when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Whereas I definitely talk to other people, and the moment they hit a system, whether it's a technology system or whether it's an interpersonal system where it's somewhat unclear, it's like, ah, this is confusing, blah, whatever. But video games are all about figuring out how rules interact with each other. So I feel like that has actually increased my patience for that sort of thing.
I feel like that is so self-affirming working in both of the industries that we work in. Like,
right.
You know, if I'm working on figuring out a new process management system at work, which I actively am, right? Like, yeah. I like to engage with that because I am engaging in that same part of my brain, right? Like,
yeah.
I can be patient and figure out how are these two tools working together and is it going to, like, be conducive for practicing our business. Yeah, that's good.
And even some of the things that we deal with in this modern era of sometimes bugs happen, but they're not 100% reproducible, but you kind of know the possibility that it could happen. And yeah. And that's all over the place with the video games where it's like, okay, one time out of 10, Mario is going to just clip through the wall here and let me have a shortcut.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be 100%, but I at least know how to test the reproducible steps that lead to the result. And that sort of stuff is extremely valuable because there's so many complex systems that require patience and that it won't give you the outcome even when you make the right moves.
But that, I feel like on the flip side, I'm less patient when it comes to people making bad decisions. You know, like, you know, every time that you hear about a data leak where, like, data wasn't encrypted, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, come on, we all knew this would happen, you know?
Yes.
I have very little patience for that type of excuses or performance, so.
Well, especially because that's just, those are known rules and you're just not paying attention to the rules.
Yeah.
Whereas if something random happens, like, okay, fine, we couldn't have predicted that, but now we know it's at least a possibility, so we can.
Yeah.
On the kids thing, I definitely think about this a lot because it is just it's an exercise in how do you teach someone to be patient?
And I mean, especially a kid, right? Like that, I feel like in terms of the fundamental lessons you try to ingrain in a child at a young age, patience has got to be like number one number one, don't hurt people. Number two, be patient.
Yeah. I think part of it is
number three, don't drink that poison.
Yeah. Number four, give me that beer.
Yeah.
I mean, one part, it's not necessarily very, I don't know, it's not glamorous, but repetition is one thing where,
yeah.
I mean, regardless of when everyone is home or not, basically if there are at least two people in the house, which there legally have to be at this point, we sit down and have dinner together, even if it's just me and Sam.
Yeah.
And the rule is you cannot start eating until everyone is at the table, even if your food is ready first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that you want to abide by that rule because you just want to shove the food in your face because that's essentially what humans want to do at all times.
Yeah.
It's just more like the repetition of enforcing that patience is the key. Basically, the repetition of understanding and working within the system. And so that's not glamorous, but I just think there's just a practical part of it where it just requires practice.
Well, in regards to like the Animal Crossing thing though, I know that certainly as a kid, one of the words that I heard was because I told you so. You know, if I'm asked, well, why do I have to wait or why do I have to be patient? It's because I'm the dad and that's what I said and that's the rules. Right? Like, does that logic still apply or like, do we take the other approach where it's like, well, you're waiting because it's rude and you're going to hurt our feelings if you eat without us, or we need to clean up the dishes together, or, you know, not all the food is ready yet. Like there are reasons that you could apply in those scenarios. And often I think, especially with a child, those don't make sense either. So it's kind of a futile effort to try explain them, but
it is very true. Like what were we trying to explain the other day? It was something about, it was something about why we use a fork to eat some food and your hands to eat other food. And part of it was just, it got to the point and you like know,
it's a cultural thing. You know, if we were in India,
that's actually what we told Sam. So we were saying, well, I forget how we described it, but there were things where it's like, well, there are certain rules that people do out of tradition, or just that's kind of how their society works, and it's viewed as either rude or polite relative to where you grow up and the people that you hang out with. And sometimes you do things that are meaningful to the people that you are hanging out with. And one of those things is you can definitely eat, you know, whatever, like you can eat a sandwich with your hands, but for whatever reason, you can't eat noodles with your hands. Like whatever. That's just an arbitrary rule that we as a society have chosen. And
I just love trying to imagine like Sam trying to understand, like he's so young, to just grasp the like cultural ramifications of like societal norms within the confines of like a space that, you know, it's okay here but not okay here. And what because really what you're trying to say is I'm trying to teach you the skills to interact with the people that you are most likely to interact with,
right? Yeah, I'm trying to teach you how to live in a society that you are most likely to live in. And you know, I'm not perfect at it, but we are pretty tolerant of, he constantly asks why, just constantly, and we try to follow the logic path to the conclusion, and sometimes
which that is ends like up, there is no God.
Well, I mean, honestly, sometimes that more often than not, at a certain point, ends up at the molecular level, and my knowledge of that gets kind of sketchy. But yeah, I mean, you know, but we do talk about, you know, this is a tradition, or this is something that people have agreed that, generally speaking, this is the way to act and this is the way to kind of function in this society that we live. The thing that is more interesting is the systems driven thinking and enforcing or reinforcing patience through systems driven play. All of a sudden, we have a bunch of puzzles in our house. Mm-hmm. Just a bunch of puzzles.
It's Sam a good time to have puzzles. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's a great time. And like, he recently got a 48 piece puzzle, which was a big step for him.
Sure.
Yeah. But it's that thing where he, especially when he first gets a puzzle, he's not good at it. But helping him work that problem and understand the value of patience and slow repetition is a lot more rewarding than trying to explain cultural relativism to a three-year-old, you know?
Yeah. Wow, that's fascinating.
So I think the game part of it is going back to your original question of how can video games play a part here? I think if you are playing a game that evokes the lesson of a jigsaw puzzle, which is this is a solvable problem, it might be hard and you might not be good at it at first, but you can actually increase your skill at it, then that's a great type of video game. But the more arbitrary stuff, maybe even the Animal Crossings of the world, gives me a little bit more pause, because at a certain point, there's no solving that. You know, there's no way around that.
Right.
Whereas even in the most annoying game in the world, you know, the Death Strandings of the world, there's a solve for it. There's a solution as long as you're willing to work the problem and engage with the system.
Right. Very wisely said. What I would add to that is maybe the reason Animal Crossing is frustrating is just culturally it's a Japanese game, you know? And like, that's just not for me. That's not the culture I grew up in.
Yeah, who knows why we don't use our hands to eat noodles, George? I can't tell you.
Well, I'm glad we settled the should I use my hands? Where is it appropriate to use my hands? Sandwiches versus pasta debate finally settled.
Yeah,
episode 567.
Wrap it up, folks.
Well, see, this is just going to be those weird things now. Where like next time I eat a fork, I'm going to think about how weird the fork is.
Yeah, it's like, why am I doing this?
It's so funny because I am Mexican American and I grew up eating food with tortillas. So a tortilla to me is just like, that's another fork you just eat. You know,
I could eat anything with a tortilla. Fork.
Exactly, dude. Exactly.
That's a fork you don't have to clean.
Yeah. I mean, see, this is the lesson you need to teach Sam. You know, it'd be really funny one day. You should say,
eat smarter, not harder.
Instead of when he asks you like, Daddy, why do we use a fork to eat instead of our hands? You could go, oh shit, great question. And then just dive in with your fingers.
He's a genius.
He's changing the game.
All right. Well, now with all of this, all this noodle talk has really made me hungry. So I'm gonna have to down some. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address,
and ExperiencePoints.net is our website. If you've got some patience, you can listen to 566 plus episodes of the past. Come on down, leave us a review, bring your friends.
All right, until next time, everybody, thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao.
go to.